Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of 700 Level Radio. I'm your host, Kyle Lutz. We'll begin the show today. We'll be here with Philadelphia Daily News columnist Les Bowen shortly. We're going to discuss some of the Eagles game last week versus the Redskins, and then we'll preview some of the games this week, including the Eagles-Vikings game. Sam Bradford's return to Philadelphia. Vikings are 5-0 this year for the first time since 2009. Eagles are coming off back-to-back losses. It should be interesting. Minnesota's the early favorites, but the way their defense is playing, they're unstoppable. They were able to contain Green Bay, who's arguably the best team at home in the last 5 years under McCarthy. I think I read somewhere that they have a 800 winning percentage or more at Lambeau prior to that game, and it'd be interesting. They lost to the Giants too, so I think it should make some really good games. The Eagles' offensive line took a huge hit now with Lane Johnson gone for 10 games due to the PED suspension. But although the guard position now and even the center position is being ineffective, I think they still have a good shot down the line to be productive and see where it goes from there. I mean, obviously, Jason Peters is getting older and older. He's not what he was several years ago. Even though he wasn't really in his prime then, he was still very good in the run block. And be interesting to see what happens with that. And with that, we're also joined with Les Bowen. Les?
How you doing, Kyle?
Good. How are you? Thank you for joining us. Philadelphia Daily News columnist Les Bowen, who I love your column. And I continue to enjoy your column and your enthusiasm, as with mine, about Philadelphia sports. I don't know if you called in a couple of minutes ago. I was starting to talk about the Vikings and with the hot start they've had. Ironically, the last time the Vikings were 5-0 was 2009, when they had Brett Favre. Their head coach was Brad Childress, who obviously we all know was an assistant offensive coordinator under Andy Reid for so many years. And obviously another big headline, Sam Bradford's return to Philadelphia. It'll be interesting. Do you think, Les, the Bradford storyline coming back to Philly will be as big as it's hyped up to be? To me, I think it's more about Minnesota's defense and their front four versus our offensive line, who's been effective at times, but obviously will take a huge hit now with Lane Johnson gone. Do you think Bradford will have success versus our defense, who I thought coming into the year would be a lot better under Jim Schwartz?
Well, I'm not really sure. I don't think he has great weapons. As far as the storyline, I just think it's such an amazing, weird thing to have the guy that was the Eagles' starting quarterback less than 7 weeks ago facing the Eagles. You know, that just doesn't happen very often in the NFL. But as far as what you were saying, that's probably true, that the Vikings' defense is the biggest obstacle for the Eagles in this game and the thing that will probably keep them from winning more than Sam if indeed they don't win.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I made a mistake. I said 5-0. I believe the Vikings are 4-0, but they ran through some.
No, I think they're
5-0.
I think they had a bye week this week, but this is week 6. So I believe they are 5-0. Yeah. And they're 4-0 with Sam. Sam missed the first game because he had just gotten there. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, you're right. I'm looking at the stats now. And they beat some amazing teams. He was incredible versus the Packers. Carolina, who I can't believe is 1-4. Who could have predicted that? And they beat some not so good teams in the Giants and Houston, which is interesting because, well, coming into the year, we were all wondering who was going to win the division. I believe it's been over 13 years since the NFC East has had back-to-back division winners since the 2003-04 Eagles. And obviously we knew how much success they had that year, those 2 years, excuse me, going to the championship game and going to the Super Bowl. And then last year, Washington, I didn't think they were that great of a team. Kirk Cousins had stretches of, you know, some excellent play. But I thought Bradford was better last year than he was. I just think, obviously, his inability to stay healthy was the issue, even though he wasn't able to have over 20 touchdowns, which has been a big problem for him staying healthy. And he's only had one season of 20 or more touchdown passes. Do you see him playing out the entire year? Because, I mean, I say he had health problems last year. He only missed two games, but it seemed like he got roughed up a lot. And the year before that with St. Louis, he missed 9 games. I'd be surprised if he plays the full year. He's leading the league in completion percentage this year and interception percentage, but their offensive line has been really strong, but I don't see him playing more than maybe 14 games.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. He's been healthy so far this year, but we are so early still in the season. He is not a guy who's real solidly built. He's tall, but he's kind of skinny, and he's had a lot of injuries in his career, not just the two ACLs that kind of doomed his career in St. Louis, but, you know, shoulder injuries and other things like that. So, yeah, I think you're probably right. I think he'll probably miss time at some point. The Vikings seem to be so good that maybe it won't matter too much if he does. But I really think he's looking at an opportunity to build a long-term situation there. I know Teddy Bridgewater's comeback isn't by any means assured. It was a really horrific knee injury that he suffered. And I think there are people there that are watching Bradford play right now and saying, well, he's better than what Bridgewater was last year. You know, so this is a big deal for Sam, and I think, you know, he's taking advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. If not for that injury, this trade might not have happened, and it benefited both sides. Is continuing to do so. I'm really shocked by the amount of success Bradford's had. You know, best of luck to him. He's a classy guy. You know, he was surprised by the move, but I don't blame the Eagles because everybody was criticizing not really the trade itself to give up Bradford, but the amount of draft picks they gave up. To me, I wasn't really upset about that because I feel that Roseman took a huge shot, and I feel like if you just sit around for 10 years or 5 or 6 years and or 7 and 9, and, you know, and you get some, you know, a first-round pick, I mean, we all see what's going on with some of their picks. I mean, Aguilar, who I'll get into in a second, 20th overall pick last year, and he's just been an enormous bust so far. I'm kind of surprised by that. It's been 8 games since he's had 60 or more yards in a game, and that was late last December middle of December versus the Bills, and that's really not something to be proud of. He's never had a 100-yard receiving game. He's never had a multi-touchdown game. He only has one so far this year. And then so far this year, he's averaging around 36 yards per game, and I really don't see anything from him. I don't see him being able to stretch the field. I don't see his hands being all that great. And these were all the things that he was praised for at USC. Do you see Aguilar turning it around? I mean, obviously I don't see it this week because I think Minnesota's a top two, top three defense that plays excellent press coverage. But what do you make of Aguilar going forward?
Well, I just, much like it's just I don't really know who they were watching. You know, he's not smooth. He's not NFL ready was the word you heard a lot. You know, he's in his second year now, and he's still nuances that a really polished receiver would already know. But, yeah, your larger point about for Wentz is a good one. They're 2 years there, their first-round picks were Marcus Smith. And that's tough. That's really hard to build a good team around, you know, when you're blowing your first-round pick. So they, in the Bradford trade, they got a first-round pick back this year, this coming year, with the draft in Philadelphia, and that's huge. That's going to help them put the team around Carson Wentz. You're just not going to be able to trade your way or sign veteran free agents or, you know, pick guys up off the scrap heap that are going to be nucleus-type players. You need to draft them. And, you know, that's one of the things that this team has really struggled with over the last several years.
Yeah, and I look at between the two teams, especially the last several weeks, the wide receivers have been almost the opposite. In their win versus Houston, wide receivers Adam Thielen and Cordarrelle Patterson played excellent, and Bradford had an excellent game, but I don't really know, put a whole lot of into it because it's the Texans, much like the Eagles when they beat Cleveland, and besides Joe Hayden, Cleveland doesn't really have a defense. But under duress, Bradford's looked really well, and he seemed like a guy that at times would struggle under pressure. Mm-hmm. When he got a lot of guys on him, and like you mentioned, he's an undersized guy. He's not like Wentz, who's a lot taller, a lot bigger built, who's also a lot faster and able to, you know, be elusive and get some throws downfield from out of the pocket. But they're getting contributions, Minnesota, from across the board. I mean, their tackle, Jeremiah Searles, has played really well.
Who stepped in for a guy who was hurt, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alex Boone on the guards played really well, too. So the Eagles just, I believe it was the first time since the late 80s versus the Cowboys that Pittsburgh suffered that great of a loss a few weeks ago. And it looked like we were just going to cruise this week for a Washington team that I think they're an average team that just was the beneficiary of a horrible division last year. A lot of people were saying, like that one year, I think in 2010, 2011, when Seattle won their division with a 7-9 record, that was looking likely last year the NFC East. And the Eagles, let's get to that. Last week versus Washington,
I was really surprised at that way that game went. I wasn't shocked that Halapulavadi Vaitai struggled in his first start as a rookie right tackle. You know, that certainly was a possibility going in, but I sure didn't see the Redskins running for 230 yards against the Eagles. That's just bizarre and very disappointing. You really had, you know, I kind of agree with you about the Redskins, but you have to say that in that game they were much better on both lines, their offensive line and their defensive line, really dominated the Eagles. And, you know, I didn't expect that, and I don't quite know what to make of it going forward, really. I think we're going to see a lot more this week against the Vikings about who the Eagles really are, whether they just had a bad day, whether they were just ignoring some fundamentals, or whether they're really not that good up front on either end. And if that's the case, then it's going to be a long year.
Yeah, the fact that they weren't able to get any sacks on Cousins is not a very good sign. I think Washington has a pretty good offensive line. Nothing top five-ish. Trent Williams played really well.
He sure did. Guards both played really well. I was shocked by how well their guards played against the Eagles' interior guys. They really were very physical, very, very aggressive.
Yeah, and Chris Thompson, the halfback, just, I mean, it was ridiculous. It seemed like it was lopsided at times just because, although the Eagles' offensive line did look sharp, I should say, excuse me, most of the Eagles' offensive line, as I mentioned before you got on, Jason Peters, I think, is getting worse and worse. I think that Pro Bowl nod last year was more out of respect than anything.
Right.
A lot of people alluded to that. But guys like Alan Barber are actually playing pretty well. But Minnesota's offensive philosophy has been huge. Heavy dose of the run, but obviously with Peterson gone, they're doing a lot of play action. And
they're putting Bradford in the shotgun a lot, which they were kind of,
yeah.
When they had Peterson, the Vikings were more of a quarterback under center team. Now Bradford is in the shotgun a lot. They're spreading it out a lot. It looks, you know, a little bit more like what we're used to seeing in with the Eagles the last several years. But I don't know. Like I said, their weapons aren't elite. You know, it's not a great offense. It's been efficient. They haven't turned the ball over, and they've scored enough points to win with a really great defense, getting them turnovers. But they really aren't an offense that scares you in terms of what you're having to match up against.
No, and, you know, play action, shotgun, and they're, you know, it's not fair to them because they lost Peterson, arguably the best back in the league, but they're going like the Eagles were under Andy Reid, basically one-dimensional. You know the pass is coming, and they're basically, I believe, only 2.5 yards per rush. And they just, I don't know. What do you see with Bradford going forward with that being said? Because we're not going to see Peterson. Their offensive line is pretty good. And he's been, I was shocked by, he only had a week of practice there, and yet they were able to put him right in the slot and push him right in. I thought it was going to take a couple games.
He is a smart quarterback who has seen almost anything you could see in the NFL. He's worked in every different kind of system. And I think he's at the point now where he just learns a system, you know, very quickly because you can't show him much that he hasn't done somewhere, you know. But I don't know what their team is going to look like down the line. That's a very good question. A lot of people eager to anoint them the best team in the NFC because they're still unbeaten. But, again, we're so early in the season. It's not like that's the way it's going to be like 8 weeks from now or anything. You know, they're not going to get Adrian Peterson back this year, and I don't know that they're going to be able to score enough points if they get some – let's say they got some injuries on defense and weren't quite as scary defensively. You know, they'd be kind of a mediocre team, frankly. But you can say that about a lot of people, I guess, and some of the teams that everybody thought was going to be real good in the NFC this year just aren't. So, you know, it's going to be Minnesota's in very good shape with the Packers not looking very good in that division and nobody else really. You know, the Lions are okay. They just barely managed to beat the Eagles. Matt Stafford's playing real well, and the Bears are terrible. So, you know, things look pretty good for the Vikings. I don't know that they're as formidable a team as they look like right now, being the last unbeaten team.
Alluding to that Detroit game, the Eagles just beat themselves up versus that game. It was a case where Wentz didn't have to throw that long pass attempt. They were driving downfield, and obviously all they needed was a field goal. But it's just about fundamentals.
Ryan Matthews, if he hadn't fumbled the ball away, I don't think they wouldn't have needed a field goal. I don't think the Lions would have scored again, and I think the Eagles would have won, you know, 23-21. But you know, he did fumble, and that's, you know, that's where it went. But, you know, the Eagles are the only team to come off a bye and lose so far this season. And that's going to be a bit of an issue with the Vikings are coming off their bye, then Dallas next week is coming off its bye, and the Giants the week after that are coming off their bye. And if that, you know, percentage holds true, that it's a really useful thing to have a bye for everybody else but the Eagles, you know, that's going to be a problem for them in winning these games.
Yeah, and the defense for the Eagles, they allowed 3 touchdown passes to Stafford, although they did put a good amount of pressure on him, 4 sacks, I think 7 mm-hmm. or 8 hurries. The amount of penalties and the fact that they out-yarded them by a pretty good margin, 346, 244, and had over a yard and a half mm-hmm. more yards per play, that kind of beats, that kind of speaks to it. And the fact that
right.
they were...
Right, it sure does, But you brought up the penalties back, Kyle, and that's become a huge issue for the Eagles. They've got 27 penalties the last 2 games. They lead the league in penalties called against them per game. And you just can't win that way. They really have to clean that up this week against the Vikings. Fletcher Cox, 2 weeks in a row, has a penalty that has led directly to the other team scoring a touchdown. And that's just absurd, you know. They got to cut that like in half, at minimum, you know. And a lot of them are penalties that you shouldn't have, you know, encroachment, false starts. Obviously, being at home, you don't expect a false start as much as you do on the road. But, you know, just procedural penalties that you can't even say the referees are at fault or anything. I mean, you line up wrong, you know, move too soon, stuff like that. It's on you. There have been a few penalties, unfortunately, that, you know, haven't looked very good on replay. But, you know, it's not that many of them, really, frankly, out of the 27. I mean, you can find one here and there. Anytime you get 27 penalties called against you, I'm sure you can find one here and there that was illegitimate and shouldn't have been called, but you just can't have that many called on you, bottom line.
Yeah, and Bradford was solid the last few games of last year and heading into this year with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, 2 different teams, 2 different schemes, et cetera, but... only 4 interceptions since week 14 of last year and almost 300 passing yards per game. And their offensive line has been productive enough just to mm-hmm. you know, keep him from getting hurt. And you look at this year under pressure, he has almost a 73% completion percentage, no interceptions, and that's under no pressure, but under pressure, he's averaged over 6.6 yards per pass and completed almost 2/3 of his passing. Now, if you looked at that, you know, a guy being, you know, maybe blitzed a few times in game and never really getting any pressure, that's one thing. But 48 dropbacks under pressure this year and 0 interceptions and 8 sacks out of those 48 times. So they're doing a good job at just pretty much eliminating that, since it's a one-dimensional team.
Right.
And when not blitzed, he's probably been the best that he's been, just giving time. We all know he was an accurate passer. It was just eliminating the turnovers, and he's perfecting that so far this year. And I feel that he has a good shot at continuing that. The Eagles under Schwartz, I think they've underperformed. And I thought that he was a lot better signing than Billy Davis, who I just thought was a volcano erupting. We won't get into that. But and the good thing is the defense is resting a lot more. The Eagles went from last in time of possession last year to first in fewest time of possession. So despite the penalties and some of the mistakes in allowing sacks, The Eagles are turning that over. They just need to eliminate some of the penalties and kind of work with that. But it's going to be interesting. Minnesota's 3-point favorites. The over-under is 40.5.
Yeah,
and
it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think everybody feels that.
Yeah, I had Minnesota winning 23-14. And coming into the game 2 weeks ago versus Detroit, Wentz had 134 pass attempts without an interception. I'm sorry, up until the interception he had that, which
right.
is
yeah.
the third best all-time between Tom Brady and Dak Prescott, who just broke Brady's record
mm-hmm.
of 162 rookie pass attempts without an interception. So it's impressive that both Prescott and Wentz have been able to have some success this year. A lot
yep.
of people were wondering what Wentz was going to do. The fact that he didn't play in a strong division in college, but the fact that
mm-hmm.
his arm speaks for himself.
And he really just
thing.
Seems to understand defenses. He reads defenses. He makes protection calls, and he really, sees safeties working and things like that. And those are things that are very, very hard to teach. Even you can have a lot of guys who have the arm, who have the size, who have the delivery, but just can't get that part of it. And, that's the part of it that he seems to have the firmest grasp on.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting what the Eagles' defensive line will do. I thought Benny Logan had an excellent game. He had a couple stops that were critical, and he had two stops from just eight run defending snaps to go, and he had a hurry for nine rushes. He only managed around 17 snaps out of 74.
Right.
So he
injured his groin, and
I
don't think he's going to be able to play this week, Kyle. It's going to be really, I'll be really surprised if he is. So it's going to be Bo Allen and maybe Destiny Vieo trying to plug up Benny's spot, and that's going to be a big deal, I think.
Oh, yeah. They actually. Zach Berman of Philly.com actually listed him week to week with that groin strain. But you probably alluded to this in your column, the fact that they need to stay healthy for the offensive line to have success. We obviously know what Cox can do
mm-hmm.
when he's eliminating some of those small mistakes, not small in terms of how important they were, but the fact
well,
that...
Well, things that he ought to be able to eliminate, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Minnesota's defense is too good to really make so many mistakes. And
right.
and you saw just week to week what they've been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Bradford is doing really well on third downs, too. He's above average in third down conversions.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how much he can continue that. And on third down, 29 for 41
mm-hmm.
last few weeks, 284 passing yards, and 18 first down conversions.
Mm-hmm.
They're challenging the protection. Versus the blitz, but what do you see Bradford doing this week? I don't think the Eagles will have much success versus that Minnesota offensive line that has been very successful the last few weeks. And I see Wentz bouncing back, but I don't see him really having a whole lot of success.
Well, yeah, I think Wentz has the harder job, against the Vikings defense. But I don't know. I think the Vikings aren't going to score a ton of points against the Eagles at home. I don't think. Could be wrong, but I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I'm going to go with, like, Vikings 17-12, something like that. I think the biggest problem will be the Eagles trying to score points. It's going to be really, really tough. Vaitai is going to be in his second start. And they have some guys that are kind of banged up. Jordan Matthews has some tendonitis in knee. It seems like they have, guys who really aren't quite healthy, who aren't ready to have, like, breakthrough-type games. So they really need for somebody like DGB, Doyle Green Beckham, to just suddenly the light come on and him become a dominant receiver or something like that. But we haven't really seen a lot of evidence of that happening yet. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I think the Vikings definitely should be favored.
Yeah, and I think if they're going to have any success, it's going to be in the passing game, despite our questionable wide receiving core, because I think Minnesota has arguably the best defensive line in the league. Linebacker Eric Kendrick, defensive tackle Linval Joseph, and not to mention their secondary is just as good with Harrison Smith, Captain Munderland, and Everson Griffin, who has been very strong on the defensive line, just putting in pressure, beating teams, a lot of the teams that are the up-tempo offense like the Eagles. And they made Brock Osweiler look like a fool last week. I don't think he was very good to begin with.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
Under pressure last week, he had a 16.4 QBR and completed just 4 of 18 attempts. So I think it's a combination of both his lack of an arm and the Vikings able to get pressure. And now, obviously, there's issues with Osweiler and Bill O'Brien because of that. But I don't know. It's interesting because I think Green Bay could challenge Minnesota in the division. I think Minnesota's had some good breaks on their side, although Green Bay lost to a subpar Giants team and at home.
That was
kind of
shocking.
Yeah,
I don't think Green Bay has what they thought they had. I don't think they have the receivers for Rodgers that they really need to win the division. But, you know, we'll see. Jordy Nelson, you know, maybe he can turn things around here. Kyle, I'm going to have to go here in a minute. If you have anything else you want to ask real quick that we can wrap it up, that'd be good.
It was interesting. Actually, probably my final question to you is your impression so far of Doug Peterson, first-time coach, and a lot of people were skeptical because, being under the Andy Reid regime with not very good clock management and inexperience. What have you making of him so far? I actually am pleasantly surprised, and I think he's despite the two consecutive losses, I think he's been very efficient in putting his foot down and showing what he wants out of players, not giving any excuses to the media, and you obviously are able to speak on that.
Yeah, I think he's been great with us. You know, very honest, very forthcoming. He details what he says about injuries more than he really has to by rule. He's kind of making his reputation as a player's coach, as a guy who understands what the players have been through and who, you know, knows how to get the most out of them. And so far he has. I really don't have a lot of bad things to say about him. I think he's hired good people to work for him. And, I think the struggle going forward is they don't have a lot of depth. They don't have superior talent, and maybe starting out 3-0, they might have raised people's expectations a little higher than they should have been. But that doesn't really, you know, say anything bad about Doug, certainly.
Yeah, and after Sunday's game, they have two straight road divisional games, and they also they're really going to play some tough teams this year in the Seahawks with their defense, the Packers with their offense, the Bengals, who are strong offensive team, and obviously we'll see what they do versus the likes of Baltimore. Les, I appreciate you taking your time out and you just talking with me and going over the Eagles. I definitely look forward to having you on again. I love your column, and I appreciate you coming out. Everybody follow Les Twitter at Les Bowen, and on Philly.com,
mm-hmm.
his column, and the Philadelphia Daily News. Les, thank you again.
All righty, Kyle. Thank you. Take care.
You too. And we'd like to thank Les Bowen again for coming on the show. Like we mentioned, Eagles will play the Vikings at home on Sunday afternoon. And after that, should be interesting. After Sunday's game, three out of their remaining four games are on the road. Dallas is, with Ezekiel Elliott, has been amazing this year. Their offensive line, the best in the league. So the Eagles, with their defensive line being inconsistent this year, that'll be a tough test. Minnesota's defense all around, it's not that they're solid on both just the defensive line, but they can play excellent press coverage. And they remind me a lot of the Cardinals' defense, but better. And they'll play some average teams, although last year they were very – poor versus some of those teams. Last year we saw with like the likes of Tampa Bay, and this year they'll play Atlanta and Washington again later in the season in mid-December. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't put a whole lot of faith in that early start because a lot of people didn't have any knowledge, any game footage of Wentz and what he was able to do. And I think that they were able to amp themselves up for that Steelers game, but you have to come back down and play some not so good teams, and you have to beat the likes of Detroit. You have to beat the likes of Washington, who, even though they won the division last year, is not a fundamentally sound team. And the Eagles, I came into the year, I had them as 9-7, but they're kind of a toss-up at this point. Now with Lane Johnson out, who's going to be stronger on the defensive line? Is Fletcher Cox going to be consistent and live up to his contract? Is Benny Logan going to be consistent when healthy? Connor Barwin has great stretches and kind of, backs down, and we really don't hear from him all that much. And the secondary was forced to trade Eric Rowe because we really didn't see much out of him. And they're not really looking good so far to begin with. They just don't strike me as a team that strikes fear. They'll obviously have to play some strong wide receivers, Julio Jones, DeSean Jackson again. And we saw last week Pierre Garçon had a fairly successful game, 12.8 yards per catch. And DeSean, although he didn't have a very successful game, four catches, 55 yards, he did have a 35-yard catch. And they were very willing to throw to him. Between the two, Garçon and Jackson, they had 20 targets out of Cousins' 34 attempts. So almost 60% of the time we're talking. And Cousins was very patient in the pocket. And although he wasn't very successful, neither was Wentz. The game looked like a lot easier game, a lot high-scoring game than what it should have been. Kirk Cousins didn't fare very well under pressure. He was 4-for-11. No pressure. He was it was excellent. And all day long, they really weren't able to sack him. But the good thing is, on the six times that he had six dropbacks when blitzed, he threw an interception and only completed half of his passes. So the offensive line for Washington played excellent. Trent Williams was able to match up against Cox, Morgan Moses, and like I mentioned, they were able to stretch the field sometimes with Garcon, and even Niles Paul had a fairly successful game. And I don't know, it's a weird game because divisional games are always strange. You can end up sweeping an AFC division that's very, very good, and you beat a Super Bowl contender in Pittsburgh, but yet you lose to a couple mediocre teams, and you got to play within your talent, and you can't have 11 penalties, 111 penalty yards. It's just unacceptable, and so we'll see what happens there. I had the Eagles losing. And I think even in that Dallas game, if their offensive line is still be able to pick up the pieces, they might have a chance. But that game is going to be a matchup of the offensive and defensive lines. And as for the Vikings, I think it could potentially be a blowout. But I think Wentz versus the pressure, I think he'll be pretty good. He's been fairly good so far. Pittsburgh's defense is above average, but not very good. So I see him continuing to improve and enjoying watching him play. And it should be a great game. So I really like to thank Les Bone for coming on again, for everybody for their support. You can also check out my column at TalkSportsPhilly.com, my blog at KStatsBlog@WordPress.com, and again, follow Les at Twitter.com/LesBowen. So thank you again.